Fine. So, surprise, surprise. We're going to continue on the theme of 70 in Megillas Esther, as we've been doing for the last couple of weeks. And we'll again try to tie it into the Parsha. So the Parsha starts out in Shemois. The Parsha starts out by saying that these are the 70 people that came down. Did I say that exact phrase as they come down? The 70 Yidden that were in Mitzrayim. Not everyone went down. Here it says it in Pasuk Hey, but you call Nefesh Yoyte Yerach Yaakov, Shiva Nefesh. There were 70 altogether. But Yosef Ayyub in Mitzrayim, Yosef was already there. So when you go through Parshas Vayigash, Rashi, I think this says it, when you start listing the specific names of the people heading down to Mitzrayim, we're now in Mitzrayim, in Parshas Mois, where they're heading down to Mitzrayim, what happens is it lists all the names. And it comes out, when you list the names, there's only 69 names, not 70 names. And the Gemara has this kasha. How do you have 70? First it says, the Gemara is going down to Egypt, it says only 66 names. It starts in two steps. Only 66 went down. How do you get to 70? Oh yeah, because Yosef and two sons count. So 66 plus 3, 69. The Gemara says, okay, that's great, but not great. So you stopped at 69, but it says everywhere 70. So there are different terutzim. The Gemara's terutzim Baba Basra is that your chevet was the 70th one. What do you mean your chevet is the 70th one? Why don't you count? You don't count her. So the Gemara explains that your chevet on the way down was not counted. Because on the way down, she was a fetus. She was in the stomach. When she got to Egypt, Bein HaChoymes, Machoik is exactly what it means. She arrived there, they gave birth, so now you have 70. So it was 66. Not all women were counted, definitely not. Sarah Pasasher, only a couple, Dina. Definitely not counted, correct. And all the Shvatim's wives. No, but yes. But no, you have, I hear. And Dina, right. It's not right. These are another whole sugya. But we have it, so we have 66 going down. One of them is expecting. Then we have three in Egypt. And when you get there, they give birth to an AF 70. That's one answer in the Gemara. The Gemara gives that answer. The Medrash in Vayigash has different approaches. Because then it's a simple kasha. It says 70, it says 69. What are you doing? So the Medrash has different words. One is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, counts for the 70th. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then fascinatingly in the reverse direction as well. Because it says when you make accounting on the way out of Egypt, it's not 600,000, it's really 599,999. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was 600,000. So you go with that direction, again 69 on the way in, only 69, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts. Then there's one that says, which you have to know what the Medrash means, that you count Sarah Pas Asher. So we mean Sarah Pas Asher, she's part of the 66. Okay, not going, but that's another approach. All in the Medrash. You have to know how to spend a year on the Medrash. And then one approach is Yaakov himself gets counted, possibly. But either way, when you're starting to list out the things, you're going to have numbers. It's not going to be so clear. But the Lashon in Parsha Shemois is Shivim.
Excuse me. If they say 69 in the English is considered one, why can you do that when you have nine people in Shul and count
on Baruch? Some people say you can. But the Eved, they say you can. Or the Kodesh, Sefer Torah, there are different ways. Roya ve'Nanira. What's the lesson in the Gemara? What's the acronym of Roya ve'Nanira? Oren. It says that there's nine people. Maskil brings this up, but other Rishonim, I think, say it also. It says if you have nine people in an Oren, but the Eved, you're allowed to daven. What's an Oren? The passage you learn the Oren means a Sefer Torah. When do you count the Sefer Torah as a live human being? So some say the word Oren is an acronym. Yeah, it makes sense. Roya ve'Nanira. Something. Out of order, yeah. But the acronym works better than I just said it. I don't remember offhand right now. But it is it. So it means because you're not counting the Oren, you count the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he can count for the 10th person in the thing. Happens to be that I knew a person who survived the Holocaust, had incredible, incredible stories, like most people survived the Holocaust, to be honest. And he lived in Kensington. And after the war, he had a lot of interesting stories. And after the war, he went back to Russia because his parents, not realizing what was going on, told him, whatever you do, come back, we'll be waiting for you after the war. He did not realize that his parents were no longer around. And he was in Germany on a death march. And then everyone was saying, go west. He was like the only guy saying, I'm going east. And he went back. And as soon as he crossed the border, they locked everything up. He got stuck. And he was there for years. And he was by the Riblitzer. By the Riblitzer, we're talking about in Russia, but when you know nothing was going on there. And he had some crazy stories of the Riblitzer. And one of the stories he has, the Riblitzer made on his yard site, his father's yard site, a minion in his house, even though in Russia it was illegal. This guy told me, he was there. He went down, used to travel there. He used to go to lots of the Riblitzer. He had miracles with him. And when he went down to the Riblitzer one time, they only had nine people. And they were waiting. The Riblitzer said, nope, nine's good enough. And they davened. And then a different time, he had nine people. He said, he told me. They only had eight. Different time, they had eight people, and they were waiting. And he asked the Ribbon, "Can we rely on eight?" Which you don't make jokes. But he made a joke to him, and the Ribbon says, "Don't worry, we're going to have 10. So we're going to have 10? What are you talking about? We're in the middle of nowhere, no one knows. And there was a knock on the door, and he opened the door, and there were two Russian soldiers there. And he thought, that's it, we made an illegal minion, we're all going to jail. And they came and they said, the Rav is due with the 9th and 10th person. Tell me the story. So anyway, this person said that nine would have, but the Evid, nine would have encouraged. I've been in places over the years where people have relied on this heter. I may have been how often to do it. But either way, now we're going back to us. We have a concept of 70. That the 70 things, the Rashi in Parshas Hazinu tells us a fascinating thing. The Pasuk says this. Bahanchel Elyon Goyim, when Hashem gave nations their portion, Be'afridoi B'nei Adam, he separated the children. Here goes. Yatzev Gvulois Amim L'mispa B'nei Yisrael. I don't know what those words mean. Here goes. He set the borders. Yatzev, he set the borders. Amim of the nations. L'mispa B'nei Yisrael. So Rashi says, unbelievable. To the number of children of Israel. B'shvil mispa B'nei Yisrael. Because of the number of the children of Israel. Shasidin Latzeis, that was supposed to come out. B'nei Shem. U'l'mispa Shivin Nefesh. We're discussing. Because there was 70 Yidden, whatever Shivin Nefesh means, now we're discussing going to Mitzrayim. He has the word Shel B'nei Shol Shiyod L'Mitzrayim, exact words of Rashi. There it says, Heitziv, Hitziv, Gvulais Amim Shivim Lashon. The reason why there's a concept called 70 nations, Rashi says openly in Parshas Hazinu, it's a pasuk, Yatzik V'Lasam L'Mitzvah Yisrael, because of the Mitzvah Yisrael. It's not the only time Rashi says it. Rashi says in Parshas Pinchas, that's in Devarim. Here's in Pinchas. Rashi says, when you start making a counting of the Parei Achag, the bulls of the Sukkot festival in total equals 70. Because it goes 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, count it up, equals 70. That I tell you. So the bulls have said, why? Keneged Shiv Mumas, against the 70 nations. Umismat and Beholchim, it goes down, like I just told you, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. Why does it go down? Because the Simon Kilya Hayalahem, because the Goyim are going to go down as well. So if you have very simple right now, we have this concept, very easy. 70 nations of the world equals 70 Nefoshes, Nefesh, whatever that means, of going down from Eretz Yisrael to Egypt. Okay, very good, 70 versus 70. But we know right now that the word 70 is not so clear. It's really 69. We're going to figure out. We have Terutzim. It's Yecheved, it's Yisrach, it's Yaakov. And each Teretz has their positives and negatives. I don't want to use negative, Hashom, has its questions on it. But we really have 69. But okay, even Yecheved, Bein HaChoymes, you have to figure out where it says this thing. Okay. So we have, so is it 70 or 69? How do you look at it? If you're going to say that there's only 69, now by the way, the Rosh and Pesachim cannot go to Gemara so much. So you have to know how to learn it. The Rosh and Pesachim, in Perek Yudim Pesachim, Avi Pesachim, Simon Mem, says that the Torah at times, he's talking about Sviris Oimer, you count how many days Sviris Oimer? The Torah says how many days you count, not how many days you do count. The Torah says count 50. So the Rosh says, well, the Torah says count 50. I don't know anyone who counts 50. So he says, no, you know why? Rosh, 1300, because you always round out to the tens. Oh, Makas, that's not even Makas, not a pasuk. Abram Yekena, Rosh says, Abram Yekena doesn't mean really 40, it means 39. Oh, then the Rosh adds in, by the way, Shivim Nefesh, unbelievable. Doesn't mean 70, it means 69. It means the Rosh on the surface is ignoring all these torahs we just gave. Or he's saying, listen, in the, how you read it, don't, I don't have a cash from the pasuk. You can count out 69, it means 70, it's not a big deal. But according to the Rosh right now, I'm asking a kasha that I thought was silly until I saw something amazing. If you're going to believe the 69 yidden going down, Rosh says it means 69. So then the 69 nations, not 70. I wasn't sure if you say such a thing. Then I found Baruch Hashem in a sefer from, it's called Pesach Oil, printed in Pramishlan, 1691. My father told me he didn't know the word yidden there in Pramishlan, 1691, but there were. And he quoted the sefer. Poland. It's like there is one. No. So the Galus is, he asked, it, is the Kasha, yes. He has a whole different Kasha. He says there are supposed to be 70 nations versus, I don't want to, whatever, versus 70 Shiv Nefesh Yetz Mitzrayim. He says, this is his Kasha in the Sefer. He says, how do we have a mitzvah, the Raisa, to destroy Amalek? To destroy Amalek? Then that's, if we hold yin yang, tit tat, equal footing, so if you're going to destroy a nation of Amalek, you have to destroy someone on the right side of the page. You got to destroy one of the nations of the Judaism. We have 70 people came down. So you only have 69. That's his kasha. He asked his kasha, 1691. He said, I understand. How do you destroy Amalek? And he says, he doesn't quote the Rosh, but he says the Rosh. That's how I got to this. He says, by the way, you should know, there aren't 70. There's only 69. Then he adds on the detail, shocking of all shocking. By the way, Amalek's not one of the 70 nations. There's no 70 nations. There's 69 Jewish souls that went down to Egypt, counted up, that went down to Egypt. Whatever, we're going to figure out what the 70 is. No, 69. Rush says 69. By the way, you want to count the 70 Goyim? Yeah, they're only 69. Because Amalek's not one of the 70. Unbelievable.
Is there a list of the 70
nations? Yes. Yes. Oscar, I think even has a picture somewhere. Yeah, I think there is. But he says no. The same 69. He says you got to go. You got to match them up. And if you go 69, 69, it's got to be the same. That's what he says. So I figured we're going to be marach on this idea of the 69 versus 70. Amalek is like in between over here. So there's an unbelievable medrash. The medrash says, on Esther, that's how we're discussing it, the medrash says that Mordechai, Haman wasn't a fool. He was a maimon and a kadosh baruch hu. He's a rasha. He's a bad person. But he wasn't a tippish. As I've said many times, we don't quote tipshim in the Gemara. We don't quote tipshim in the Navi. What we're quoting by Yoyim Haman, believe by, obviously he's not a tippish. Evil, yeah, but tippish, no. And the medrash has fascinating conversations that go on between Haman and Mordechai. And this is one of the conversations Haman has with Mordechai. Haman says to Mordechai, we start with Layichro Leishtachava. That what? There was a rule, we spoke about it. Ki Kain Sivil HaMelech, who we said it was 70 days. There's a tzavah that you have to bow down to Haman. And what happened? Mordechai's not bowing down. So we know in the simple version of the story, Haman took revenge on all of us. One yid doesn't stand up. That's all we spoke about that a couple weeks ago. But the Medrash has a conversation. Haman wasn't ready for all that war. Not everyone wants to have a war automatically. Some people claim they're a kind, they're one piece. So what are you doing now? What do you have such a situation? Medrash says he came over to Haman and he started negotiations. Let's do negotiations. Because he wants to save face publicly, but he wants him to bow down. So he told him, I have a kash on you. How do you not bow down to me? When you're Zayda, bow down to my Zayda. And by the way, we spoke about last week. Even though it's Zayda and Zayda, Yisrael, what do we say? Gilgal, Gilgal. So he tells him, what do you mean Zayda bow down to Zayda? He says, go in Parshas Vayishlach, it says everyone bow down. So if everyone bow down, it's been done. There's precedent, as we say in America. There's precedent, Mordechai. I'm begging you. You're allowed to do it. It's legal. It's legal. You're allowed to bow down to me. Let's go. What was Mordechai's answer in the Medrash? Not true. I don't come from everybody. Mordechai is from what? Shevet what? Shevet Binyamin. Binyamin wasn't there. In the story of Ayishlach, it says it openly. Reli will tell me exactly the Lashon. Right? And it says there 11. It says the word. Acher Esher says 11. It says Yaakov and his 11 children, right? It openly says 11. So Mordechai tells Haman, listen, good call, but I'm out. That's not going to work. They're debating it. Okay. What the chiddush is, oh,
you want to... Him?
What?
She's expecting him.
So, I'll tell you. The galus is that the Medrash says, I think it's Targum Yonison, that she was expecting. That Binyamin was a fetus at the time. It's a chiddush nari, by the way. You have to know, historically speaking, Binyamin was really born a year and a half later, and the Rishonim talk about having an Uber as a Tyson Yavamis for 2 years. And if you go into the sugya of oddball pregnancies, maybe we'll talk about that one day, because based on Tyson Yavamis, you find out of the oddball pregnancies, there are many oddball pregnancies, but one of the biggest riots is going to be Binyamin. Because there are about 25 sources that say that Leah, that Rachel was expecting B'shas Maisa, and just do the math. He's in Sukkot for a year and a half. Right here, he's showing up over here at the beginning of a Yishlach. Then he's on the road. It's a 2 year on the road. So, but anyway, but yes, the simple version, the Medrash, I think the Targum Yonison says it as well, but we're a little quick for time, so I don't want to, that he was an Uber. Okay. And I still want to say for also a few hundred years ago, we know a general machlokes. A general machlokes is Uber Yerachimai. When you have a fetus, inside a mother, how do you look at the fetus? Is the fetus Yerech Imai, like the mother has two arms, two legs, and now a fetus, whatever it means, a stomach, a bulge in the stomach. But it's a mother. There's no separate entity. Or do you look at it that a fetus is its own separate entity? Uber Yerech Imai, machlokes in a lot of places. So, the Sarah Avram sort of says this. He says this is the machlokes. First, Haman tells Mordechai, listen, I got a problem here. You got to bow down. I need you publicly. PR. Go publicly and bow down. I know you hold it. It's also, it's not a real Avodah Zarah. According to Tosfos Sanhedrin, it's a fake Avodah Zarah. We spoke about that last week. Don't worry, just bow down. And Mordechai says, no, can't do. He's being a little stubborn. He says, listen, precedent. I got your grandparents bow down to my grandparents, which we said is me and you. It's me and Yaakov and Esav. Come on. Sorry, no, can't do, because Binyamin didn't bow down. So then Haman says, what do you mean Binyamin didn't bow down? Binyamin did bow down. He was expecting B'shas Maisa. That's good enough. And Mordechai says, that's a good, nice, good lomdus. Haman, good lomdus. But Lamo, I hold uber yerachimai, And if Ubi Yerach Imai, that would mean that you don't count as a separate being bowing down. So they didn't bow down for you. If Binyamin is considered a separate fetus on its own right, then the bowing down of the mother somehow creates the physicality of a bowing down of a child. But if it's only considered an extra leg, there's no bowing down. So Mordechai says, Ichalt Azai right now. Ichalt Ubi Yerach Imai. Therefore, when Rachel bowed down, that's Rachel bowing down. No Shaykh to Binyamin. Binyamin didn't bow down, I'm not bowing down to you. You have no precedent. So Haman turns, my version, Americanizing the version. I mean, listen, how much are we going to do this Ubi Yerachimai? I mean, there are good cheetahs. So Mordechai adds on, I want to tell you another Ubi Yerachimai. That when we're going down to Mitzrayim, we have 69 people. And you know what that means? Your chevet doesn't count. Yeah, later on. But when we're going down, we don't count her. You know why we don't count her? Ubi Yerachimai. If you're going to hold that there's a separate fetus, and the same way the fetus inside the rachel, when the rachel bows down, the fetus bows down, it's the same thing, then guess what? When Yechevet's traveling to Egypt in her mother's stomach, she should be counted as 70. You know, you got to wait till Bein HaChamish, she comes out of the womb. She was pregnant the whole time. We don't count. We count later on. Why not? Count her as an Uber. Elamai, you don't count as an Uber. No, because an Uber doesn't count. So he told him, and I have a raya from the Pesukim. The raya from the Pesukim is that as well, Yechevet didn't count as much. But why is Mordechai busy with this? Because we just said a galus to Gevart. Because if you're not going to say that your chevet is a separate fetus, and therefore you're going to say maybe the whole teretz is out, born in the wars, your chevet's out. As a fetus, she doesn't count, born in the toilet doesn't count, your chevet doesn't count. You know what that means right now? You only have 69 nations. And you know what that means if we have 69 nations? Amalek is out. So Mordechai is telling Haman in this funny conversation that's going on in the Medrash, precedent, Ubi Yerachimai, yeah. It wasn't theoretical love that's going on in the base Medrash only. It was practically speaking of Mordechai telling Haman, your lifespan is limited because we're allowed to destroy Amalek because it doesn't affect us. Because we have 69, not 70. It's all legalities. It's perfect. There's an unbelievable rekeach. Tosfos al Torah. I looked around. I asked my father, Vada, my Rebbe, a few other people. No answer. No answer to explain. I found one sefer that says that it's a joke. He said, Bederech Tzachas. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know if it was funny or smart. Either way, I didn't understand what he was saying. The Medrash has a bunch of things about ayin. We're discussing the last few weeks, the number 70, relevant to the story of Mordechai, the story of Haman going on. And it says what we said last time. Haman might have been only in power 7 days, which I told you last month was a rekeach as well. 70 days from the letter to the letter. It mentions a bunch of 70s. And then it says these words. When Haman had a downfall, I wrote the lashon down. I want to make sure I got it. Shenergu ayin umois. Tosfos al Torah says that if you want to know how ayin fits in with Haman, when Haman went down, nergu ayin umois. The 70 nations were killed. So I saw one parish say, 70 nations killed means that within the war of the Jews in the time of Shushan against the other nations of the world, Achashverosh ruled the entire planet. We spoke about that as well a couple weeks ago. Last week, I remember that even the Egyptians might have had something to do with it. So Achashverosh ruled the entire world. Well, there was a civil war happening, and it was the Jews versus the rest of the world, including the Jews versus the rest of the world, was the Jews against 70 nations. So within the 70 nations that were existing under the auspices of Achashverosh, when Haman went down, with him, Nergu Ayinumus as well. I think that's how to learn it. But again, you have to know.
But the Megillah says that there was 127 nations.
Yeah, that might be locations as opposed to nations. I mean, yeah, that's locations. But I don't know. But we either way, 70 nations we believe anyway. Right, says Medina. And either way, even that, like we do today, we believe in, let's say, 70 languages. Today there's much more than 70 languages. Yeah, because Yiddish comes from English and German, whatever that means. Our English is part of English English, which is part of Shakespeare English. I don't know. So it still starts with 70 and then it gets branched out. Even if you want to say 127, it's still, always is 70. Oh, you Ovois. Ovois and Taldus. 70, because that's what we're doing the whole time. So now, what's my train of thought? Oh, so what does it mean, this Shenergu Ayin Umos? I don't know, did Nergu Ayin Umos exist when what do you call it? There was a civil war, but it's the Persians. That's how you learn the whole story of the Persians. How does it mean Nergu Ayin Umos? So according to how I want to say it like this. Correct. That's what he wanted to say. So Bishar means that there was a...
He was Melch Kisra, that means that he was Melch.
That's right. That's right. The simple interpretation is going to be, but you never thought of this. Nergo ayin umos. I mean, nergo ayin.
Who would say that it was the entire nation? Obviously, wasn't the entire nation.
Correct. It means a chelak. That means there was one Japanese, one Chinese, at least it could be more. One of each of the 70 master. That's pasha that I learned, but it's interesting. It's just a wild idea. And why is that a chasan and Haman? Haman cares that a Japanese got killed because he's all going in Haman negativity. That Haman's upset. Nergo ayin umos. So maybe you could say this, not shenergo ayin umas means, which the people of the ayin umas. Nergo ayin umas means he killed the concept of ayin umas. There was a concept called 70 nations. We saw Rashi. There's definitely a matter, whatever. There's definitely a concept. But in this line of drush that we're talking about now, that what? That the sefer in the 1600s says, wait a second, you're going to kill out Amalek, then you can't have 70, you have to have 69. Otherwise, you have to kill Amalek. We have Mordechai fighting with Haman. I'm saying, okay, what do we do? 69, 70, how are we doing this? Ubi Yerachim, Gansha, Alam, this is the thing. What's coming out is that Mordechai is telling Haman, we're going to wipe you out. We're going to take care of you. So why are we allowed to take care of you? Why? We got a problem. If we take care of you, we have to lose one of us. Yin Yang, we got to take care of one of our guys. We're not ready to lose one of our guys. So what he says was Mordechai told him, no. There is no one of our guys. It's 69 versus 69. You're the odd man out, man. So when he killed out Haman, what he was doing was, Haman, when he died, shenergu imay, what died with Haman was the concept of ayin umas. That's a 70. It's not 70, it's only 69. It's only 69 umas. That's where a lot of kill him. So, and this, by the way, if you start looking around, it becomes an fascinating thing. In Parash of Yishlach, it says like this, Tag Yonis ben Azil. We have, Vayivosa Yaakov levadai, Vayivavik ish imay adalai sashach. And we know from Rashi, Vayivavik ish imay, does Rashi say it? I think he says it, no? Who's this Rashi's fighting with an ish? I don't know what that means. Pirshu Rabbi Sein Uzal, Shehu what? Sarai Shal Esav. Yaakov versus Esav, which we said is Mardukai versus Haman. Same people, right? Let me read you Yonis ben Azil. Very difficult Yonis ben Azil. I don't know. We're not reading all of it. It's very hard to say. So he says like this. V'yishtaka Yaakov l'chadei. Yaakov was alone. On the other side of Yabak. V'malacha imay b'divus gver. An angel came in the form of a man. But Omar, what did the angel tell him? Halaya Marta, you said, we're going to move to the verse, Islacha Tresim B'nei, Ubrate, you have 12 sons. And then within that, it's a Derech Agav line. And then there's a whole thing here, which most of the words you can't figure out, of a fight between, again, we don't believe it's only a fist fight. When Mordechai is fighting Haman, there's Lamdas going on, there's Machshavas, there's Alacha, it's real earth-shattering, not universal ideas. Within the statement of this phrase is, that Yonis ben Azil says that the Malach told him you have 12 kids. And I saw them ask on this Yonis ben Azil, what are you talking about? What did Yaakov ever say he has 12 kids? It's not true. It says 11. Yaakov never said I have 12 kids. So one of the explanations they want to start saying, again with this whole idea, that Binyamin was an Uber Bishas Maisa. So let's say Yael said, no, it was why? When you're reading the whole fight here, it's Derech Agav. You don't need the number 12, by the way. When you read this whole Targum, whatever you figure out with it, number 12 is irrelevant. It could have been 11 or 10. It's not enough Mina. It's saying part of the conversation. By the way, you have black hair. Okay, so it's not worth doing anything. Within the fight, why are you discussing it? So the Torah says, because the Malach then, who was fighting Esav then, Esav's Sar, who was fighting Yaakov then, wanted to set the system up. By the way, I'm going to throw it in Derech Agav. Sign the contract. You know what it says on page 18? You have 12 kids. Why do you have 12 kids? Why is that part of this whole conversation? Because he wants to tell them 12 kids means uber lav yerachim, right? Which means, by the way, you have a precedent because when I'm telling you, when Rachel bowed down, you have a separate fetus that bowed down as well. You could be bowing down to me. Your chevet's considered separate as well. That's why the 70, that was part of the whole spiel. So the fight that begins, whether it's 69 or 70, is a fight that didn't begin necessarily with Haman and Mordechai. It's mentioned this Parsha Shiv Nefesh, that's my excuse for Parsha Shemais, but it really started in the time of Yaakov versus Sarai Shal Esav. And either way, we say that the 70th one, possibility of one of the first members of the Medrash is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it says, Kiyad al-Kes Ko, we spoke about last year, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Amalek might be that 70th fight. Maybe we'll discuss that a little more next week. But Mitzvah Hashem, we will be Megala, the Karav, and have a Geula, and get rid of the Amalek forever and ever. Amen.